We are turning our attention now, though, to the issue of drugs. And we've been talking a lot about the issue of illegal drugs in this country over the last couple of weeks. For understandable reasons, two carry men due in court via video link today in Tralee. We'll bring you the latest in relation to that and the charges around it. But in the wider context of, I suppose, the amount of illegal drugs that are getting into this country and how it gets into this country and the rise of the drug lords who are facilitating this sort of trade. Nicola Tallant has written Cocaine Cowboys, The Deadly Rise of Ireland's Drug Lords. She'll be here with us in Killarney in the INEC on Saturday the 13th of April with her live show, and she's with me on the line. Nicola, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning. Who would have known how apt it is to be coming to Kerry after the latest news?
Indeed. And look, notwithstanding what the case is and the investigation that's ongoing, the seizure of the crystal meth is one thing. But in general, we have seen, obviously, a huge increase in cocaine use in the last number of years in this country. And that is fueled by, obviously, large amounts of cocaine being shipped into this country. And we're seeing the rise of, I suppose, is it a new breed of drug lord? Is that how you term it?
It's almost been like a kind of a gold rush, really, for people involved in the drug business for the past 10 or so years. And there's a number of reasons for that. Firstly, we're actually a rich country. While we don't probably feel that way most of the time, we have a lot of disposable income. But we also have this incredible love affair with cocaine. We're one of the biggest users on the globe. And a lot of the industry here is fueled by a kind of a middle class user who is maybe not having a problem with the drug, you know, not anywhere near going into addiction services or anything, but are simply using the drug as part of a weekend's entertainment. And that has basically created this enormous market that more and more people are clamouring to get a piece of. And it's not just anymore in Dublin or, you know, in the bigger cities. It's everywhere, absolutely all across this country. When you see cell structures developing in rural parts of Ireland, cell structures of big organisations like the Kinahans, like the Sinaloa grouping, you can just see how important this country is globally now.
Is it important as a destination for users, or is it important for a transshipping point, or is it both?
It's a bit of everything. I mean, I think that we are punching above our weight completely in the global drugs market, completely and utterly. Not only have we sort of exported the biggest cartel Europe has seen develop in recent history, that being the Kinahan organization, which formed a European super cartel with partners from the Netherlands, from Italy, and from the Balkan regions. But we're also massive users, so we've a huge market here. And as an island, we have long been a destination point for kind of the arrival of it to Europe. We're seen as this sort of, when you go back actually to when cocaine first starts to tumble in, it's around the Kerry, the Cork coasts that it starts coming in shipments. And a lot of them come a cropper through weather or, you know, just bad shipping. But that's an indication of the amount that was coming in, I suppose, in the 1990s, the early 1990s. And we've been a place where it can land. I mean, what we saw with the crystal meth that was found, that was being sent onwards. We don't have a problem with crystal meth in this country. In Europe, we aren't a great market for it, but the Australians are. And that was going onwards to Australia. And you can just imagine how cargo from Ireland isn't seen as high risk to Australia. Cargo from the likes of Chile or from Mexico would be, but not from Ireland. So they're always clever, these drug groupings. That's why they're so rich.
So how do they use things, Nicola, in terms of that shipping? And what are we learning from this? I know Michael O'Sullivan, in terms of an Garda Síochána, the former Garda Assistant Commissioner, he's been talking about the Irish Navy struggling to patrol the country's waters. Is it a combination of factors, like your large container slipped in with a bit much bigger shipment on huge tankers, or is an element of, as we've seen, and some of these again have come a cropper in recent times, smaller operations dropping bales of cocaine or whatever else it is on with a transponder, and then more smaller operations along the Cork and Kerry coast, picking them up and bringing them to shore in a less organised way?
Well, I suppose really what we get, you know, what the state gets, the Gardaí get, is usually that something has gone wrong. You know, when you look at the MV Matthew last year, and there was 2 tons of cocaine on that ship, something went wrong there. That will either come out, you know, in a courtroom, or, you know, it'll be established as time goes on. But the fact of the matter is, there was 2 tons on that ship, which we got. That shipment was coming from the Clan del Golfo, which is one of the biggest drug organisations in the world, and they're shipping something like 20 tons a month to Europe alone. So we got 2 tons, right? In and that was our biggest seizure of the year. And it's the same with what you see with this crystal meth, the transport of it. Sinaloa cartel are just shipping, and mainly like America has been their market. Yeah, so there, you know, there is worries that they're looking at Europe as being a market for crystal meth, because Europol, the European policing agency, have issued a couple of warnings that there are Mexican groupings now established in the likes of Amsterdam and Antwerp. But when you talk about, you know, how it's getting in and how some of it has been caught, I actually have on my desk here the file, the Encrochat files into Maurice O'Shea Salazar, who was the local Kerryman who's wanted in Chile in relation to drug trafficking for the Sinaloa cartel. And it was a, you know, the Encrochat tap was this amazing hack that European police forces did. And there had been interest within this grouping. And it shows, the Encrochat files that I have here show exactly how they were moving the drugs in. Yeah. And how easily they were. And I think what comes out of it really is that there is corruption in a lot of the European courts, and they have people who will move their supply through the ports very quickly for them.
Yeah. Nicola, talk to me about the toll on the ground then in two ways. Number one, these drug lords and the violence that surrounds and unfortunately affects particular communities in this country. And secondly then, what we're seeing and hearing on the ground here is the running up of drug debt, particularly among younger people, and parents who knew nothing about it having to pay off local drug dealers.
And you wouldn't believe the amount of phone calls I got from people, from parents around the country who have that exact problem. Yeah. You know, they're teenager, they're young, a lot of them would be the sons, start to use, are they, you know, they kind of like the idea of a little bit of the danger of it. And before they know it, they're into something they have no control over whatsoever. There's pipe bombs coming in the windows of people's houses. There's thugs arriving at their door at night, threatening them, threatening to, you know, murder their children and looking for this money. I mean, the advice is always do not pay up, because if they think you're good for it, they're always going to come back for more. This is not a legitimate business where, you know, you'll get a receipt for what you've paid off, or there's any honour at all. But that is a massive problem all across the country. And, you know, the ones who are intimidating these families are young kids who are being groomed and radicalised by the gangs. They're teenage boys, largely, who are, you know, being brought in on the lure of fancy runners or, you know, a bit of status. And they're operating, they're working for these gangs, and they're the ones who are smashing windows and breaking your cars and all this sort of stuff. It's terrifying for people. It's really, you know, the negative effects of the drug. When you look at somebody, the idea of somebody, that image of somebody out having a great night out, you know, gin and tonic in one hand and, you know, taking a snort of coke in the other hand and looking all very cool and everything, that is just that. It's an image, because the reality of the situation on the ground is there are so many people suffering as a result of that. And each deal, every single 10 euro that is passed to somebody for a line of coke, every 100 euro is going straight up the ladder back into the hands of you know, the big cartel bosses.
Yeah.
That's where the money is all ending up.
And you have the consequent then, you know, the fueling of the violence, the amount of police time, the effects on the health service, the issues of need for treatment, all of that is being perpetuated by that casual usage.
It is. And you know, the show, the Cocaine Cowboy show, what I sort of try to do in that is give the overall story and make those connections, because people are great at making the connections between the likes of the high society users and then what's happening on the ground, the murder and all the devastation that's left behind. And it's just to sort of give a proper picture of it, you know. This is and it's an interesting look. It's interesting in the end of the day. It is very interesting. It's an industry. It's an economy out there, you know. A lot of people are making a lot of money and a lot of people are suffering as a result.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was watching that American Gangster movie with Russell Crowe. He was the one honest cop in New York. And he made the point to one of his superiors. He said, listen, if the drugs trade stopped tomorrow morning, there'd be a couple of 100,000 people out of work. He said, that's the real problem. That's why we can't tackle it.
And the corruption, really, of society as a whole is the problem. I mean, you know, we're talking about that meth travelling from, you know, from the Sinaloa cartel into off to Australia and Ireland being a stop-off point for it. But when you look at what was going on, how all of that was being organised, I mean, somebody's been paid off everywhere within the ports. Yeah. And, you know, that corruption is part and parcel of what comes with the growing drug industry. And it's not something we can ignore here either in Ireland.
No, certainly not.
You know, it's you know, it does have a very damaging effect on society as a whole.
Yeah, Nicola, thanks so much for talking to us. That's Nicola Tallant there, investigative journalist of Sunday World, author and podcaster. Dunnegal INEC Club, April 13th, Cocaine Cowboys brings to life the story of what's going on in the wider context of drugs, how it gets in here, how it gets used, what it leads to, and how it has unfortunately been developing.